This podcast is meant to provide information on reproductive health. It does not establish a physician-patient relationship, and we would urge you to contact your treating provider regarding your care.
Hi, I'm Doretner Hassan, a fertility specialist, and I'm here to talk to you about all things reproductive health. Why is it important that you listen to my podcast? Well, I'm not just a fertility doctor. I'm a fertility doctor that also experienced infertility. You're going to see behind me my two books, Miracle Baby, A Fertility Doctor's Fight for Motherhood, and The Fertility Manual, Reproductive Options for Your Family. I'm an expert and an author on this topic. But what I want to describe to you is my own personal story, which I have documented in Miracle Baby. I myself have undergone fertility treatments. I grew up in an immigrant family. I put my career first, my education first, and it's only until my mid to late 30s, actually, is when I realized I was alone and having a child was important for me. So around age 36, I decided to freeze eggs. Well, I will tell you, I only made about 4 to 6 eggs at that egg retrieval. And in theory, you want to have a whole lot more than that. I realized from that first egg retrieval, my clock was already running. At age 37, I decided I need to just become a single mother by choice. So I looked into donor sperm and I underwent an egg retrieval utilizing donor sperm. Now, I knew I needed a gestational carrier or surrogate to carry the pregnancy. At age 23, I had an actual stroke that took me 3 days until I had full recovery. And I'm lucky I have full recovery. I have 100% neurological function, and I was able to finish medical school and finish all of my training at that time. But I learned the hard way at that time that I had a congenital heart defect, and probably me carrying a pregnancy was probably not a good idea. And so when I decided to use donor sperm, I found a gestational carrier who was going to carry the pregnancy. I did one egg retrieval on the first and again, I only make 4 to 6 eggs per retrieval. And so on the first transfer to her uterus, we transferred 2 embryos. Now, at that time, we did not do PGTA testing, pre-implantation genetic testing, aneuploidy screening, where you test the embryo for abnormalities. And so she did not get pregnant on that first transfer. We had one more embryo left over from that round of eggs or embryos, and we utilized that embryo for a subsequent transfer to that gestational carrier, and she did not get pregnant. And I will tell you, at that moment, I was completely devastated. I had done 2 egg retrievals. The first egg retrieval, eggs were frozen. Second egg retrieval, I used donor sperm. I asked someone to carry the pregnancy who's had 2 children of her own, and she did not get pregnant. And I was done at that point. I thought, I just need a big break. I'm going to adopt. I will tell you, I got the negative pregnancy test results on a Friday following her second transfer, and I was completely done, devastated. I mean, I cried so much. And then on that Saturday, it just turns out I met my husband by chance at a Halloween party. And again, I wasn't looking to meet anyone. He just showed up at the wrong time, actually, because I had decided I was going to just do donor sperm, and he just threw a complete wrench into my whole plan that I had for myself. But I was taking a break from all the fertility treatments at that point, and the relationship progressed incredibly fast. And it's amazing when you're older and you know exactly who the person you're looking for, when you meet them, it's just incredibly quick and easy. We got married after about 8 months of just dating. And it turns out, as luck would have it, my husband had male factor as well. So sperm quantity quality was not as good for him. He actually had to undergo procedures as well to help improve those things and take medications to improve the semen parameters. So then I did my third egg retrieval. On my third egg retrieval, we thawed the eggs that were frozen from my egg freezing cycle so we would have a bigger batch of eggs. Third egg retrieval, this time we did the PGTA testing, so testing the embryos for aneuploidy. All the embryos were abnormal, and I was devastated. Again, I took another long break because I just could not deal with the emotions of having to turn around and do it again for failure. And so After about 6 months, we did a fourth egg retrieval. And again, all the embryos, and again, we're making few embryos. We're talking about a woman who only makes 4 to 6 eggs per retrieval. We're talking about a man who has abnormal semen parameters. We're making very few embryos. But again, we tested the embryos, and the embryos were abnormal in the PGTA testing. After the fourth egg retrieval, I was completely done. I decided, okay, I'm done. We're just going to adopt. If we're using donor egg, donor sperm, surrogacy, we might as well just adopt a child. There's so many children out there that I can give a good life to. And my husband said to me, try one more time. Try just one more time, and then we'll adopt. So grudgingly, I decided, okay, whatever, we're going to do the same thing again. We did a fifth egg retrieval. And in that egg retrieval, we got one good embryo that tested correct on the PGTA testing. Now, it had been a few years since I did the surrogacy, so I had to look for another surrogate. It took us another, I want to say, 14, 16 months to find a new surrogate. I was being picky about who I wanted. We only had one embryo, and I was looking for someone who was the right fit for me. We interviewed probably about a dozen people before we finally settled on who was going to be our surrogate. And I will tell you, my husband and I had a choice which surrogate we would use. But also the surrogate or gestational carrier, they have a choice if they want to work with you as well. So it's really about finding that right match and the person you think you can work with to carry a pregnancy, establish a relationship with, deliver your baby. That's going to be so important. So we finally found the right gestational carrier and transferred that one embryo to her, and she delivered, and that's how I have my only child. After my son was delivered, I decided to take some time off from work. I told many patients that I'm leaving work for a little while, and I told them why, that I was quote-unquote expecting a baby. Well, I didn't have a belly to show that I was expecting a baby, and so I didn't have to tell them my whole story that, oh, as this whole time, I've been treating you as your doctor. I myself have been undergoing fertility treatments as well. And so now I'm about to be a mother, and I'm going to take some time off from work. And so after my son was born, between diaper changes and baby feeds, I wrote those two books behind me. The first one describing my own story, and it was one of my patients that told me I need to share my story with the rest of the world, because she liked me as a doctor and felt that I did good for her as a physician. But now that she understood that I was in the same shoes she walked in, she felt like that really connected us. And so I wrote that book to share my story with the rest of the world, that 1 in 6 people struggle with infertility and will need fertility treatment. The second book, The Fertility Manual, Reproductive Options for Your Family. Again, my patients were the ones that shared with me over the years. As physicians, we talk the medical jargon, and sometimes it goes straight over your head. And so I wanted to write something simple, which broke down the medical fertility jargon into simple language for patients to understand. And so the fertility manual is a simple, easy, quick read. It was meant to educate patients on basic fertility jargon, which is what the goal is for this podcast, by the way. You will be able to go to your doctor and ask them questions about your health now that you understand the basic concepts. Because I too underwent fertility treatments, I feel like I'm in the position to help you, because I know the shoes that you're walking in, and I understand sometimes that emotional roller coaster you go through where you get excited that maybe the cycle is going to be hopeful and maybe it'll work, and then just to come crashing down the next at the end of that cycle because it didn't work. And I get where that comes from, that roller coaster of emotions. And so we're going to talk about different things you can do throughout this podcast to help you get pregnant. Before we get into IVF, fertility treatments, surrogacy, let's just start with the basics. We're going to talk about natural conception today and understanding the menstrual cycle. So if you're out there and you want to understand the menstrual cycle and how to conceive, or if you're a partner and you want to help your partner out understanding the menstrual cycle and when to pinpoint when to conceive during the menstrual cycle, we're going to talk about that today. I like to think about the menstrual cycle as two phases, follicular phase and luteal phase. And in the middle of that, the transition is ovulation. Now, I know out there, there are certain diagrams that have four phases where the first 5 days or the first few days of the follicular phase where you have bleeding, they call that the menstrual phase, but that's also part of the follicular phase. And then it's not as choppy as where you think it's just a phase and a phase and a phase. It actually is a continuum where it transitions slowly, where sometimes you're kind of at the end of one, but not into the next phase. So I don't want to think about it as choppiness in terms of phases. So let's talk about the menstrual cycle. If you have 28-day cycles, in theory, you ovulate on cycle day 14 because the second phase, the luteal phase, is 14 days long. If you have 30-day cycles, you ovulate on day 16 because, again, that luteal phase is fixed at 14 days, which means the first phase, the follicular phase in this person, is about 16 days long, not 14 days long. If you have 35-day cycles, you ovulate in theory on day 21, because again, the luteal phase is fixed at 14 days. So that follicular phase in this person is 21 days. Now, you could buy ovulation predictor kits over the counter, and those can help you with tracking your ovulation. You could also use apps that will tell you the pattern of your menstrual cycle and help you predict ovulation as well. Now, let's look at someone with perfect 28-day cycles. Remember I said, in theory, this person has or ovulates on cycle day 14. Well, what I will tell this person to do is to start having intercourse once a day for 3 days leading with the last day on the day of ovulation. So this person would have intercourse on day 12, day 13, and day 14. And you would have hit the three most important days, the 2 days prior to ovulation and ending on the day of ovulation. If you are a little bit unsure as to the cycle, because you have perfect 28-day cycles, but sometimes it's 27 and sometimes it's 29-day cycles. And so you may want to expand that range. And so what I would say for that person, I would have intercourse every other day between days 10 and day 20 of the cycle, with once a day on days 12, 13, and 14, 2 days prior, and the third day on the day of ovulation. And then you would have expanded the window to potentially conceive during that cycle. Now, it's not an emergency. I know sometimes you get your ovulation predictor kits and you're calling your partner, you're like, you need to be home right now. We got to have intercourse because we need to get pregnant. It's not as urgent as that one moment. You do have a window, and that's why I'm telling you how to expand that window when to get pregnant. As well as it's been shown that sperm can live in the female reproductive tract for up to 5 days. So even if you had intercourse today but ovulated tomorrow, there's still a chance you could get pregnant with this cycle. You may want to start using the ovulation predictor kit starting around day 10. So I would start checking my urine on day 10 of my cycle to see if I'm getting the LH surge. Now, the LH surge is the ovulation hormone. In the predictor kits, sometimes that shows up as a second blue ribbon or a second blue band on the predictor kit. Sometimes it shows up as an egg drop or as a smiley face, tells you when you're ovulating. So I would start utilizing the ovulation predictor kit around cycle day 10, and then you'll see which days you ovulate and when to have intercourse. I'm often asked, what about my health? Do I need to get healthy for pregnancy? When we're younger, our eggs and sperm are healthier. As we advance in age, our eggs and sperm deteriorate in their function. Just like you and I, today, as we advance in age, we see it on the outside. Our skin sags, Our energy level is not the same as when we were in our 20s. The same thing is happening on a cellular level. So within our cells, their ability to function declines with time and age. So now we have to change our lifestyle so that we improve our cell function. And so changing your lifestyle means cutting out processed foods, eating a healthy diet. I will tell you, there's no one perfect diet. But I would say staying away from processed foods. The Mediterranean diet seems like a decent diet, but again, there's no one special diet that you have to follow. I would also say cutting out, substance usage, like excessive caffeine, excessive alcohol, marijuana, edibles, smoking tobacco. Those types of things will deteriorate the egg and sperm function and therefore deteriorating your chances of conceiving. Also getting a good amount of sleep. You want to get about 7 to 9 hours of restful sleep. You know, when you wake up in the morning and you've had a good restful sleep the night before, your energy level is great. You feel like you can tackle the world, do your job that day. The same thing is happening on your cell, on a cellular level. Your cells, the ability of those cells to function requires those cells to rest. And so when they're ready to function, they function efficiently, not working slowly or because they're tired. The egg cell is the most, or the egg cell actually is the biggest cell in the human body. And so within that egg cell, within the cytoplasm, there are organelles or machinery within that egg that drives the production of producing another person, a baby. The sperm is also important, believe it or not. The sperm contributes to the embryo. And so if you have sperm, you also want to have a good, healthy lifestyle. Because again, the healthier you are, the better the sperm you're going to produce and the higher chances of having a healthy pregnancy. You know, I like to end my sessions on an old wives' tale and debunking the myths. So someone sent me a question through the podcast. Annie said, my sister put her legs in the air after intercourse and got pregnant. Will this work? Well, I'm here to tell you, she got lucky, but you do not have to put your legs in the air for an hour after intercourse for the sperm to get to where it needs to go. Sperm swims so fast, they will get to the egg within minutes if it was going to work. As well as certain sexual positions do not make a difference whether or not you get pregnant or whether or not you conceive a boy or girl. That's another old wives' tale, by the way. I've heard certain positions will increase your chances of getting a boy or a girl. I'm here to tell you that's not the case. It still is 50-50 chance of male or female offspring. Now, I know that we like to be in control of our health, and some patients have told me if I told them that they stood on their head for 4 hours, I would guarantee them a baby, they would do it. Or if they did jumping jacks all day, they would be guaranteed a baby at the end of the day, they would do it. What I'm here to tell you is science really is what controls fertility and reproduction. And you don't have as much control over it as you would hope to have. And especially for people like myself, we are trained or programmed to think, okay, if I put in the time and the work, I should get the result. And that's not how reproduction works. A lot of it's just science. There's a little bit of luck in there as well. So if you didn't get pregnant this month, it's okay. Try again next month. And if it doesn't work next month, you try the third month. And after a while, just come see me and we'll talk about your reproduction. Thank you for joining me on this episode. We will talk more things reproduction on our next episode. Please follow, like, and subscribe so you do not miss an episode.
Pioneer.